Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm here today with an extraordinary guest. Really doesn't need an introduction. Roger Stone, who's a seasoned political operative, speaker, pundit. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He was featured in a Netflix documentary, Get Me Roger Stone, which was an amazing documentary. He's a veteran of 10 national presidential campaigns. He served as a senior campaign aide to three presidents, Nixon, Reagan, and of course, the great Donald Trump. Unfortunately, Roger Stone was indicted on fabricated charges in the now, of course, discredited Mueller witch hunt. And he was subjected to a Soviet-style show trial in D.C., in which a lot of his amendments were indeed violated. And thank God, by the grace of, you know, justice and mercy, President Donald Trump commuted his sentence and issued him a pardon in July of 2020. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being here. I hope I gave you a proper introduction.
That was terrific. You read it the exact same way I wrote it. So congratulations.
That's what I tried. Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to be with you. As I said before, when we were just shooting the bull, I think the small, independent, conservative, and libertarian-oriented podcasts are a vital part of our effort to take back the country. I mean, like every patriot, you have to be discouraged at the bad policy and the retreat of the Biden administration and the resulting decline as they systematically go out and try to undo every great thing Donald Trump did for this country. The number one problem in the country is that all mass communications, whether it's network television, cable television, most of radio, certainly all of the print media, magazines, newspapers, and the most heavily trafficked parts of the internet are completely controlled and censored. And therefore, if you believe, for example, that, as I do, that there was an extraordinarily high number of irregularities and anomalies in the last election that at a minimum bore examination. I mean, to say Trump won, I think he won, but you'd need to go do exactly what they're doing in Arizona today, which is to say examining the results of the election and finding the fraud. Georgia's falling apart even faster than Arizona, where they now realize that there were 19,000 ballots cast in one county that should, in Fulton County, which should have been discarded. So where this goes, I don't know. Do I think there'll be enough undisputed evidence that Trump won? Yes, I think there will. Will that somehow effectuate itself in him returning to the White House? There's no legal precedent for that. And the Supreme Court, I'm not optimistic that they would hear such an argument.
I agree with you. And I it's amazing. It's hard to believe because I honestly don't believe it that 80 million people voted for Joe Biden. It just seems categorically impossible from just, you know, we're not stupid people, Americans.
You would have to believe that in some of the African American precincts in New York City and in Philadelphia, that Joe Biden ran 20% better among Black voters than Barack Obama. Sorry, not a chance.
Right. You know. Unfortunately, we know how the left, the Democrats, like to exploit minority communities, promise them just so much to exploit them for their votes, which, you know,
I think that's the great irony is that it was Joe Biden who authored the legislation for the 1994 crime bill.
Yeah,
that's the law that mandates that requires the harsh mandatory penalties for the first time nonviolent crime of possession of small amounts of drugs for personal use. This has fallen disproportionately on Black people because the penalties for rock cocaine are far more harsh than the penalties for powdered cocaine, although both are illegal. Of course, Bill Clinton signed this into law because he wanted to look tough on crime for the upcoming presidential election. And between the two of them, they have incarcerated more black people than anyone in history. None of them dangerous to society. No. None of them pose any substantial criminal risk. These people belong in drug treatment programs, not being incarcerated where the taxpayers are footing up the bill for their food, their housing, their medical expenses, and they're not dangerous criminals.
No. This is,
and Biden just walked away from this in the election. He was never appropriately nailed as the father of the most racial criminal justice system surrounding our drug laws.
I say it so many times on my show about that 94 crime bill and the thousands of African-American lives that he destroyed for first time, you know, drug offenses when he sat there on the Senate floor and held out a quarter in his and it took it out of his pocket and said, for this amount of crack cocaine, a mandated minimum sentence of 5 years and they'll seize assets. He was just destroying lives. Bill Clinton signed that bill that day. They couldn't get it signed fast enough. It in a way, that was an attack when he started attacking the Bush administration about the failed war on drugs. Joe Biden, in my opinion, is one of, if not the most racist politician in United States politics. He's a segregationist.
I mean, to be very clear, he ran for the Senate in 1972 as an opponent to the segregation of the Wilmington schools. He told the Wilmington News Journal, and I quote, I don't want to see the Wilmington schools desegregated. If they're desegregated, they will become a racial jungle, and I don't want my daughter going to school in a jungle. That's the dog whistle right there. There's the dog whistle that he accused Donald Trump in the debate of throwing out there. So he hung out with Strom Thurmond and James O. Eastland and Herman Talmadge and John Stennis and the other segregationists. That's where he comes from. And then he comes out and says, oh, he marched with Dr. King. Well, when that was checked out, we found out, of course, that he never marched with Dr. King.
It was false. Obviously we know Joe Biden is a liar. I mean, how many times has he been caught lying? He had to back out of running for president because of his lies. But he doubles down on it. And the hypocrisy with he talking about incarcerating African-Americans for drug offenses, first-time drug offenses. And then when he has that town hall and he says that, no, everyone needs to be in drug treatment programs now. We need less incarceration. It's just that whole...
They had their opportunity. In other words, there was a period in which he had both houses and the presidency, and he should have moved this legislation. But it took a Republican president, Donald Trump, to undertake the First Step Act, the Second Chance Act. Donald Trump has done more to liberate black people from prison than any president in our history. He's also done more for the black family than any president of history. We had unprecedented levels of job growth among African-Americans and among all Americans, for that matter. And we had the lowest levels of unemployment among African-Americans since those statistics began being kept. I forget it. A great man once said, the best social program is a job.
Absolutely. Now it's the best stimulus check is a paycheck. It's because people are sitting home, you know, waiting for their government checks because they're getting paid so handsomely rather than go and earn a hard day's work.
It's destroyed incentive. I mean, I don't know if you, I have no car. Recently I bought a used car, but I'll get my hands on it shortly. But for 2 years I had no car because I had to sell my car to pay my legal bills in the Mueller witch hunt. Therefore I'm required to sometimes use Uber, which I like. It works pretty efficiently. The problem is they don't have enough drivers because people would rather stay home and watch television and be on the federal dole of Uncle Joe than take a job as an Uber driver. So you might have to wait an hour before your Uber can show up.
There are restaurants near my home. I'm on Long Island, New York. They're nice restaurants near my home that can't open every night for dinner service because they don't have the wait staff, the bus staff, or the cook. Some of these restaurants that have been in families' lives for generations, you have 75 and 80-year-old restaurant owners that are out there bussing tables just in the hopes that they can get open for dinner service because everybody is sitting home stuffing their face in mommy's basement playing video games. And it's sad. It's just a sad state that our country's in. We went from being so proud of this country and now to what is going on. And now you have this, everything's politicized, the Department of Justice, the FBI. I mean, this whole nonsense with January 6th, which I say it from time and time again, was not an insurrection. It is not an insurrection. When you arrest 400 and 500 people and you're charging them with trespassing, enough with the insurrection bullshit.
And not a single one of them is armed. How about that?
Right.
So the Democrats keep telling us this is the most deadly attack on America since 9/11. No, actually, the two deaths that we know of have, of the three deaths, two of them have nothing to do with this.
Right.
In both cases, the officers died after the fact from other causes. And they still won't tell us who murdered in cold blood Ashley Babbitt, who was unarmed. Shooting an unarmed woman, that's a crime. And even if that woman is guilty of trespassing, that does not excuse you from first degree murder. But they've already had the investigation in secret. They've already decided that nobody will be prosecuted, and they won't even tell us the name of this person. Unbelievable.
They won't tell us the officer that shot Ashley Babbitt, but they will run around the country hunting Trump supporters, whatever you want to call them, people that were at that protest, riot. They're hunting them like the Nazis hunted Jews in Poland. And then they're incarcerating them. They're charging them with trespassing, and they're sitting in solitary confinement for months with no bail for trespassing and other nonsense charges. And they want, obviously, the mainstream media, legacy media, they all want to just keep pushing insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. If you wear a red MAGA hat, you're a white supremacist insurrectionist.
Yeah, they're the ones who are intolerant. There's the irony. I mean, it's absolutely true, as they say, in Alinsky's book, always accuse the opposition of exactly that which you are doing. They do this to us constantly. It's another example that you've just pointed out right there.
What's interesting is we had that going on this minute, the last couple days, with the defund the police, where Democrat-run cities have taken steps to defund police departments. Roger Stone, I hope you light up that cigar. As a matter of fact, I have one here. Before I even go on, I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody. I'm a big cigar guy. I'm a big collector. I have a very large walk-in humidor in my home with about 10,000 cigars. And he asked me a question. If there was one person, and I'm not just saying this because you're here in front of me. If there's one person you'd like to smoke a cigar with, who would it be? And I said Roger Stone. Partially I said that because He's a Democrat. And he gave me this look. And he said, really? I said, yeah. Me and Roger Stone, Carnegie Club, New York City. I'm going to sip on single malts, and I'm sure he's going to have one of his famous martinis. That would be the perfect cigar mandate.
That sounds like a good time to me.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you're in the city, you get in touch with me, and the drinks and smokes are on me. I'll tell you that. So then he asked me, well, who's your number two? I says, George Burns, but he's dead. I says, just get me Roger Stone and we'll smoke a cigar.
Well, very soon I will be unveiling my Stone Cold cigars along with my Stone Cold vodka. You'll be able to get both of them at stonecoldtruth.com in the store. A couple months away. I've just made a deal with an extraordinary manufacturer of cigars in Honduras. In Nicaragua. In the end, they had the best tobacco. We had to make a choice, but I'm going to bring the American public a very fine cigar, Cold cigars.
Well, Roger, when that comes to fruition, I'm going to have you back on here so we could promote the hell out of that because I'll definitely probably be one of your best customers because I love cigars number one and I like these new brands that pop out. They have especially Nicaraguan blends are unbelievable. I could sit here for an hour and talk about just cigars. So what I was pointing out earlier with this defund the police is all these Democrat cities, they're taking these steps to defund their police departments. And what happened just recently? Now Biden has his press secretary and his advisors out blaming the defund the police on the Republicans because they didn't want to pass the American Rescue Act, which is such hypocritical nonsense because there's nothing in there that says any of that money is for funding police departments or
even more importantly, back in earlier in the year, when Seattle and Portland and Kenosha and Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and New York were burning and where you were having riots, nobody was prosecuted. They try to tell us that, they're not organized. That's just an indigenous movement, really. Who's paying for the trucks, the flatbeds, the buses? Who's paying for the lawyers there standing by to bail these hooligans out? Who's paying? Who delivered the pallet of bricks in front of the stained glass windows? So it's an absurdity. And once again, it points out the two-tier justice system. On the day that I was falsely convicted, the prosecutor in my case, who was the same prosecutor in Andrew McCabe's case, announced that no charges would be brought against McCabe for lying to the FBI, which is far more serious than lying to Congress, which I deny doing.
Right.
Any misstatement I made was irrelevant, was immaterial. It was hiding no underlying crime. It was a classic frame job. Thank God the president was able to see through it.
They didn't even. I mean, you had an activist judge. Wasn't there an issue with the jury? The jury four person.
Yeah, the jury four had attacked me by name regarding the very case in which she had been selected as a juror on Twitter and Facebook, and then she had it on a private setting, and then she kept it on a private setting during jury selection and the trial, and then afterwards she deleted it, but somebody screen captured it. So yeah, that's absolute proof of bias. The judge ruled that it was not, and that my conviction should stand.
Should have been a mistrial.
At a minimum.
I mean, at minimum, you know, I'm no attorney, but I mean that's obvious. And then, you know, they wouldn't let you present certain evidence as your defense. They were blocking your aspects of your defense. Is that right?
I mean, the entire underlying rationale for my indictment was that the Russians hacked the WikiLeaks. And gave the information to the The Russians hacked the DNC and gave the information to WikiLeaks. I could have proved easily through forensic evidence expert testimony that's not true. In fact, in the declassified documents, we now know even CrowdStrike, the firm hired to cover this up, they have no proof that there was a hacking by the Russians. So how do you lie about something you don't even know about, something that didn't happen? Nobody noticed this, but on November 3rd, 2020, at midnight, strange time to put out a press release on the busiest news day of the year, the Department of Justice released the last remaining redacted sections of the Mueller report, in which he admits that he never had any evidence against me of Russian collusion, WikiLeaks collaboration, or any involvement with John Podesta's extraordinarily embarrassing emails. There you have it. They knew that. They did not disclose that to my defense attorneys. They have virtually ruined my life, and they would have killed me over a fabricated crime.
Right, because you know, the time of your sentencing, they would have thrown you in a federal prison, you know, disgusting conditions, and then of course you have COVID running rampant. I mean, they were letting prisoners out of criminals out of prison because of COVID. And here they want to shove you in there on trumped up charges. It's just sad, the political persecution that goes on with. I mean, look what they're doing to Rudy Giuliani now. They took away his law license.
This is an absurdity. First of all, to take away his law license, he hasn't been convicted of any crime, nor has he broken the canon of ethics of the Bar Association. He is entitled to the opinion that the election was not honest. His First Amendment rights guarantee his right to say that if he wishes to. And to take away his law license for that because it was a politically incorrect? No, that doesn't incite violence. Questioning an election is not a call for violence. It's a call for integrity. It's a call for transparency and honesty, but it's not a call for violence. But the real reason Rudy is being tortured this way is because he has seen the Hunter Biden emails, every one of them. And every week you find some new juicy tidbit you don't know. Revealed in the New York Post last week that Hunter Biden used his father's credit card to pay what ended up being $25,000 to a Russian hooker. And the Secret Service showed up to bail him out when his own credit card kept being declined.
It's amazing how the Secret Service is used. We're going to get into that, too, with your recent with the other recent witch hunt they have going on you. Hunter, Hunter Biden, I mean, that between the lying on the gun sales, background permit paperwork, how nothing came about that, and still nothing comes about that. And, you know, Joe Biden sits there and wants to talk about taking away our AR-15s and just destroying our Second Amendment rights. It seems if everything that's going on right now in the Biden presidency was going on in a Trump presidency, there would be more whistleblowers, you know, fake whistleblowers, political witch hunts. He probably, if you take the man away and just put Donald Trump where Joe Biden is right now, he probably would have several sets of impeachment charges filed against him in Congress. And it's just, it's disgusting how the political, the bureaucracy works. Nobody knows better than you. I mean, you were the one in 1988 who was trying to get Donald Trump to run for president the first time when he wasn't interested. In my opinion, nobody knows the ins and outs of DC politics than Roger Stone. I still have yet anybody to present me with a name that they think knows more about what goes on behind the scenes than Roger Stone. I always made the comment, Roger Stone knows where the bodies are buried. Everyone should be afraid of Roger Stone, I'm sure. I call you the politically persecuted provocateur. That's what I refer to you as. And I
in truth, I'm a warm and fuzzy guy. I'm a political warrior. I believe in fighting for the things that I believe in. I believe in doing anything necessary but legal to elect my candidates or fight for my cause. And the Democrats hate me because I've beaten their ass so many times. Understandable. But at the end of the day, the politics of personal destruction have now taken over. And the Constitution, the law, no longer matters. Right now, we know there's the greatest single number of warrantless surveillances being conducted by the FBI in history. And the FISA court has actually warned the FBI about the potential unconstitutionality. The point being, you can now be surveilled just because you disagree with Joe Biden, just because you're a political dissident. No, just because you disagree with Joe Biden does not make you a domestic terrorist.
Right.
I've never advocated violence as a solution to our problems or lawlessness. And I don't. I still think we can win by doing several things. I put forward a plan, by the way. You can go to RogerStonesPlanToSaveAmerica.com. RogerStonesPlanToSaveAmerica.com. And you'll read my 4-point plan. It has to do with the internet. It has to do with cleaning up our election laws, cleaning out the Republican Party, getting the country clubbers to finally throw in the towel and leave. They're Democrats who voted for Hillary Clinton anyway. And then nominating the right candidate in 2024, somebody who's for the Trump agenda. My candidate, of course, is Donald Trump. But if he decides not to run, I've been very candid. I would probably go out with a group of others and try to draft General Michael Flynn.
Wow.
He's not a politician, but I think he'd be a great president.
You know, I tell you what, that's the first. I mean, I think General Flynn is a phenomenal man, and that's the first time that I've heard his name being used as, you know, hey, possibly a contender for the presidency. And to hear it coming from you, I mean, you know, you were the architect for some major presidential campaigns, and one of which, I mean, Ronald Reagan's my political hero for a lot of reasons, and to know that. You were a senior campaign advisor to that campaign. It is pretty extraordinary. Do you think Donald Trump is going to run again?
Just read what it says. It's a complicated question because in politics, 3 years, 3.5 years really is a lifetime. And you don't know what the situation is going to be 3 years from now. As of today, he's our strongest candidate. As of today, I believe he intends to run. He has not become a formal candidate for a whole series of legal reasons, but I think it is his intention to run, assuming that his health is good. And I spoke to him 2 days ago. He was in great spirits. I think he feels good. He's lost quite a bit of weight. The stress of that not having the presidency on you has got to be remarkable. But then there's also the stress of those trying to erase your legacy. And Donald Trump's a patriot. He doesn't like seeing what's happening to America. That's what got him into this fight to begin with. He didn't need to be president of the United States to be well-known or famous. He didn't need it to have a big fancy plane or a beautiful mansion or a gorgeous family. No, he did it because he loves America, didn't like seeing what was happening to it. And then he looked at the career politicians and he realized that none of them had the actual cojones to do what had to be done. So he's a disruptor. Yeah. He's a disruptor. That's why the deep state hates him so much. That's why the leadership of the Republican and Democratic Party despises him, because he is, you know, he is such an existential threat to business as usual.
You have to really love America, which I know Donald Trump does, to decide to, I mean, billionaire. You know, he's done everything there is to do. What else is there besides, hey, I'm going to run for president? And he gave up that entire lifestyle to serve his country because he loves it so much, because he believed he didn't need the power. He loves America. He loves Americans. And he showed that. He showed that in every aspect of his presidency, every appearance, he showed that. His rally in Ohio, he showed that. I would hope that he's in great health in 3 years and just as he is right now, and he decides to run. And if not, you know, that General Flynn, that's interesting. It's really playing around in my head. And, you know, Ron DeSantis, I believe, said that he's not going to run for president in 2024.
So therefore, you know, he's definitely going to be a candidate.
Yes. So I thought that, too. And at least possibly if Donald Trump does decide to run, maybe you'll see Ron DeSantis as a running mate. I mean,
There's a problem with that, which, of course, is under the Electoral College. If the nominee for president and vice president are from the same home state, then you forfeit the votes, the electoral votes of that state in the Electoral College. That's 27 votes we can't afford to lose. So that's why you could never have a candidate, a ticket with two people from the same state.
And this is why you get paid the big bucks for all that stuff, because that's something a lot of people don't know.
Well, and you could say, well, Trump could move his residency back to New York or back to New Jersey. Why? For the highest income taxes in the country? From a state, if a Florida where we have no income tax?
I'm looking to bail out of New York. I'm on the 5-year plan. I don't know if it's Florida, South Carolina, or Texas.
Well, I got to say one thing. That de Blasio has done one hell of a job, hasn't he? I mean, he has systematically destroyed everything that was great about New York City.
They're shooting each other in broad daylight on the Upper West Side. In broad daylight, they're shooting each other sitting in cars. It's just Washington Square Park is a drug den. They're shooting up, smoking up, and having these among the homeless. It's like they're betting on homeless people, like cockfights. They have them fighting each other in Washington Square Park, and the New York City Police Department really can't do anything about it. It's insanity.
No, they have no arrest. I mean, I know officers in the NYPD, and they've been told essentially arrest no one, and therefore they don't. It's really extraordinary that you now have all these residents from California, New York, New Jersey, moving here to Florida. So they vote Democratic and destroy the place they live. Now they want to come here and because the weather's great and they hear it's so wonderful, yet they continue to vote for policies that will destroy this place as well. High taxes, for example.
Yeah, the taxes are they're extraordinary. My property taxes on the property I have, it's just disgusting. It makes me nauseous when I open up my tax bill. And that's one, being in New York, and two, being on Long Island, which is, you know, it doesn't get much more expensive than that besides just living in the city. So I want to talk about January 6th. And I tell you, I hate talking about January 6th, because every time I get into a conversation with somebody about January 6th, it always turns to that hostility, because it's usually somebody who doesn't agree with me. And then they end up calling me a terrorism sympathizer, because of course now that's the new, like you said, the most lethal threat in the United States is this white supremacy because of January 6th, when we know January 6th has nothing to do with white supremacy. But with that being said, they're now trying to turn their their sights, the Department of Justice, on you again because of a what I believe they called a newly resurfaced video, which it's not. That video came out back in February.
Which proves absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, I stood out in front of the Willard Hotel, which, by the way, was the headquarters for the Nixon-Agnew campaign in 1968. So I worked in that building for about a year. And I was outside of my hotel for a very brief period. It was very cold. And I greeted hundreds of people who stopped for a selfie or a shake hands or get an autograph and so on. And one guy says to me, "So how's it going to go today?" And I say, "We shall see." What exactly does that prove? I mean, there was a constitutional process that day and a vote to be taken. So
right. How's
it going to go today? I assume refers to that. And my answer was innocuous. We shall see. Ah, there's proof that Stone planned the whole thing. It proves nothing.
It proves nothing.
So any claim, insinuation, accusation, that I either knew about or was involved in any way in the illegal acts of January 6th at the U.S. Capitol or anywhere else in the District of Columbia are categorically false. There is no evidence to the contrary. Anyone who claims otherwise, therefore, has to be lying, period. It just gets tedious, but the left just repeats a lie over and over and over again, and the next thing you know, your neighbors think you're a Russian spy. Which is absurd because my relatives were mowed down by Russian tanks in Budapest in 1956. So to say that I'm in bed with the Russians, please give me a break.
You know, I was reading some posts earlier today on some of the mainstream media, how I don't remember who said it. They said, "Oh, they're looking at you for orchestrating the events on January 6th. I'm like, yeah, they're really giving Roger Stone a lot of credit for this nonsense. I mean, really? To orchestrate the events on January 6th?
Well, one headline said I was the mastermind.
I saw that too.
I was shocked because this was politically counterproductive. No Trump supporter in their right mind would say, "Oh, let's break into the Capitol, destroy public property, and menace lawmakers. That will really help Donald Trump." It doesn't even make sense. And as we know, nobody who entered the building was armed. There's many, many, many unanswered questions about the whole thing. I do know that shortly after the president spoke, I had a call in my hotel room from the Secret Service asking whether they could escort me to the Capitol. I find that highly suspicious.
So it was very odd because I read that and I watched something recently with you speaking to somebody about that. I don't remember who. That's beyond suspicious. Why, first of all, would the United States Secret Service call Roger Stone in his hotel to say, "Hey, can we come pick you up so you can lead the walk to the Capitol or to go to the Capitol?"
Well, of course, I think the implication, of course, was that this was something the Secret Service was calling this something the president wanted. No one actually said that. But more importantly, I think we both know that had I been there, I would have been blamed whether I had anything to do with it or not. So I've been as categorical and as completely transparent as possible. Did I meet individual members of the Oath Keepers? Yes. I also met hundreds of other people the same day. So if one of them picked their nose, I'm not responsible for the fact that they picked their nose. This is all guilt by association. And it's born of the bloodlust of the left just based on the fact that I got a pardon. That they're apoplectic about the fact that I got the pardon. I mean, look, I like to say my slogan, Roger Stone, making liberal heads explode since 1968.
I love that. And it's true. I mean, you know, and I mentioned him again, Rudy Giuliani. They're going to go after him. They're going to go after you. And my fear is that because of what they're doing to some of these people on January 6th and how, you know, just malicious and just politically motivated to how their witch hunts get, that they're going to do whatever they can, Roger, to just try to really fuck you up. I mean, they're going to do their best. And I hope, you know, there comes a point, you're a fighter, a patriot for so long, your entire life. And to be so strong-willed, there has to come a point sometimes where you say to yourself, how much more and how much longer can I just fight this fight and fight this fight? And I'm sure I already know your answer. You will fight this till you take your last breath, I'm sure. But when you, every day, you in particular, there's a shot taken at you. Am I right?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much accurate. But look, I believe in America. I believe in the exceptionalism of America. I'm willing to fight for our constitutional values. I think this is the greatest country on earth. It is the last best hope for man. And we need to recognize that this is no longer just a struggle between two different political parties that just have different governing philosophies, but both love America. That's not the case. The Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy and Harry Truman, and Franklin Roosevelt, for that matter, has been captured by a socialist left, a socialist globalist left, and now they cheer on the abuse of civil liberties by the FBI. As you know, during the Vietnam War, they went out of their minds when they found out that the FBI had infiltrated anti-war groups. Yeah. So they have totally abandoned, American liberals have abandoned all of their own past positions. They're now for government spying. They're for now limiting free speech. They are committed to destroying any incentive within our economic system by paying people more than they could make if they just go out and get a good old honest job. Country's in deep, deep trouble because there's a cabal here of liberal Democrats and their handmaidens in the Mockingbird mainstream media that just repeat their lies over and over again. And truth doesn't have a chance because, oh, you're censored. You're deplatformed. It's a very scary time in America.
And you talk about surveillance. Just recently you saw that the other night Tucker Carlson came out and said that he has information, a whistleblower, that the NSA is surveilling him or trying to may release information to try to get him bounced off the air. I mean, that was pretty wild that he came out with that. Do you have any? What do you think about that?
Well,
I mean,
first of all, it is outrageous that the Biden administration is spying on the single most influential conservative journalist and critic of the Biden administration in the country. There's no illegality in anything Tucker Carlson does. He's a journalist who reports things as he sees them. And he's very precise about his documentation and his research. But they hate him because he is moving millions. They hate him because he is bringing the truth to millions of households every night. And he's educating people about how evil and how satanic the people running this country now are. These are not just liberal Democrats taking their turn. This is a fundamental struggle between light and dark, between good and evil, between the godly and the godless. And if we don't win this fight, as I said at a speech in Orlando, in Tampa, if we don't win this fight, we step off into 1,000 years of darkness. This is our last best hope for the survival of not only the country, but Western civilization. Donald Trump began to turn this country around. He brought us the most vibrant economy in our history, record wage growth, record job growth, the lowest levels of unemployment ever. He rebuilt our military strength. He appointed scores of conservatives to the courts at all level. Looks like he made a few mistakes on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it looks that way. Maybe they'll turn themselves around, but that's a little dicey too.
But he redid the trade policies that were sucking the jobs out of this country. We had this one-size-fits-all trade philosophy that was very, very good for our trading partners, but not so good for us. And of course, his heroic effort to seal the border. Now we have an open border. God knows what they're bringing into the country.
Now, all of those unbelievably wonderful things you just rattled off that Donald Trump has done is now being in the last 6 months being dismantled one thing at a time. It's just being dismantled, and it's just now that he's weakening our military. We have virtually no border on the southern border. We're not in energy independent anymore, and it's just really going to shit. and it's going to take some really strong, you know, patriots out there to hopefully just win the country back. That's what we have to do. We have to win the country back. I'm really happy hearing that the, you know, the ridiculous Manhattan district attorneys, Cyrus Vance, he decided he's not going to criminally charge Trump with anything because there's nothing there. They had to make that public that there was a special grand jury. Well, and now,
I mean, I guess I'm not sure we know that yet. So what we have is one of Donald Trump's lawyers claiming that decision has been made. I pray that he's right.
Right.
But I don't trust Cyrus Vance. So let's see, as Trump would say, let's see what happens.
That's good point. I want to end with, I want to ask you a question. And I have to get this book. Amazon was out. I have to get it from your website, your Stone's Rules. I'm very interested in getting my hands on that book. But so one of your rules that I happen to like is think big and be big. I believe that's one of your rules, if I'm not mistaken. But I wanted to ask you, is there a Stone's Rule that, besides all of them, I'm not sure, but is there one specific rule that you live and breathe every day, just in life in general? Which one of your rules would that be?
Well, it is one of two. It is either never put cheese on seafood, which every Italian knows, or it is never quit. See, I think that's the most important one, because it was my mentor, President Nixon, who said, a man is not finished when he's defeated. He's only finished when he quits. Until one has been in the deepest valley, one cannot appreciate the majesty of the highest mountaintop. That's what I love so much about Trump. He will never quit fighting for America, and either will I. It's great to be with you. And now I have to go and sign copies of my pardon, which I'm making available. Yes. Let me give
copies
you
of your pardon. I'm going to have to. Gonna have to get my hands on one of those, Roger.
Let me show you one of these babies. I just signed one of these for Tucker Carlson, a friend of mine of many years. This is the actual instrument that the president signed, pardoning me from the illicit, illegal, unconstitutional, corrupt Mueller witch hunt. So I will definitely send you one. Be my pleasure,
Roger. I appreciate it. Really quick, give us give everybody a website where they can look and support your movement, please. What's the name of your website again?
The most important thing right now is to go to stonefamilyfund.com. Stonefamilyfund.com. As you know, my wife is battling stage 4 cancer. This comes out of the blue. The Mueller investigation essentially leaves us broke and battered. Even the holistic and homeopathic remedies for cancer are extraordinarily expensive. We are struggling every day. I will get back on my feet. My website, Stone Cold Truth, is undergoing a revamp. It will be relaunched. I'll do a daily show there, 20-minute show called Get Stoned, Your Daily Fix of Politics.
I love it. Well, Roger, listen, my best wishes for you and your wife. You and her will be in my prayers and thoughts. I hope when you launch the cigar line and anything else, I can get you back to talk about that and promote that. So I really want to thank you for being here. It was really, really an honor.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. No problem. Thank you so much. Everybody, thanks for joining us. If you want to get all the episodes, go to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. All of Roger Stone's websites will be in the show notes. Remember, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. And most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.